So I was driving Friday morning, listening to Nachum Siegel like I always do, and I hear an announcement that Rabbi Soloveitchik is speaking about making salad on Shabbos on Friday morning. So within 1 second, I received a frantic phone call. Pick up the phone, and there's a person screaming on the other end, "What do you know about making salad?" So insulted, I know it was my wife. So let's revamp this year. Call it the halakhic aspects of preparation of salad. But I want to focus on, in the very short amount of time we have this morning, is really three distinct issurim, three possible prohibitions that are involved in the making of salad. We're not going to come to a conclusion that it's also. I'm going to try to show a way how one can, in effect, work around each of these issurim. But just the simple act of making a salad is potentially very problematic on Shabbos. So the first problem is the issue of peeling vegetables. For that matter, this is true both for peeling vegetables, peeling fruit. What is the halachic status of peeling on Shabbos? So there is a Yerushalmi that the Ramban, the end of Simchat Shulchan Aruch, quotes, that speaks about peeling garlic, kolev shumim, and the Yerushalmi says that it's a problem on Shabbos. It's a malach on Shabbos. Right now, we're going to work with the assumption that the malach is a malach of borer, which is usually associated with separating bad from good, sometimes even good from bad. We're going to see as we go on that we may be incorrect in the malacha that we're identifying, but suffice it to say that the simple reading of the Yerushalmi is such that it is a violation of Borer, and the Prima Gavra is in that way, and the Mishnah Berurah is in that way, and Ramesh is in that way, so well, that's a great company. So let's work for now with the prohibition of Borer. So let's stop for a moment and ask ourselves, well, what does Borer mean exactly? The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that if one has a mixture of good and bad, so sometimes separating is a problem, sometimes Borer is a real serious issue in a Torah, and sometimes Borer is completely permissible. What's the difference? How do we know whether it's mutar or asar? So the Gemara gives us three different rules, which in effect make Borer permissible, because the Pelskin coined the phrase, it's labeled as Derech Chila, not Derech Malacha. What are the three rules? So one is, it has to be Ocha Mitav Psoles, one has to take the good from the bad. That's considered to be the normal way of eating. Principle number two, it has to be done with one's hands. It's also considered to be more of a derech achila. And the third condition is that it has to be done on the altar. It has to be done for immediate use, literally right before the meal. If all three of these conditions are met, if it's biad, not the kli, if it's ocha mitach solas, and not vice versa, and if it's done on the altar, all three of these things combined together, then the halacha says that it's perfectly permissible to have chila. According to the way we assume halacha in Siman Shin Yutes concerning Borer, if any of these conditions are missing, we are dealing with a very serious problem on Shabbos. So at first glance, that's exactly the issue that Rishalmi is bothered with. The person who peels, so they're removing the peel, the vegetable from the fruit, and that's a potential problem of Borer. However, comes the Ramah and qualifies this issue. Comes the Ramah, quotes Rebbe from the Rishonim, and says, when do we say that peeling is prohibited? That's only if you're peeling for later on during the course of the day. But if you're peeling the altar, if you're peeling the fruit, the vegetables, right before the meal, then it's perfectly permissible. Then it's mutar lechatchila. And one has to stop and ask ourselves, why should that be so? We just got finished a moment ago saying that there are three conditions that have to combine together in order for Borer to be permissible. And here, we seem to be for sure lacking one, probably even lacking two. How could the Ramah say that it's mutter to peel a vegetable right before the meal? After all, you're taking the bad from the good. You're taking the peel off of the vegetable. It would be very hard if you really work on this one. Try to figure out how to get the vegetable off of the peel. So you need a PhD in peeling for that one. But the Tajam job is when you take the peel off, so you're removing the bad from the good. So doesn't that smack of Borer? Number two, you're using a kli, you're using a knife, a peel, or something. So isn't that a separate violation of Borer? So how could the Ramah say in one fell swoop, peeling vegetables is perfectly mutar lechatchila, provided that's being done ba'altar, if after all it doesn't seem to meet the criteria of Borer? So comes the Mishnah Berurah and the Be'er Halacha, and the end of Siman Shin Chaf Aleph of this Ramah appears, and the Be'er Halacha quotes in the early Acharon the following Yisod, an important principle as relates to Borer and important in terms of peeling. Says the Be'er Halacha, this idea that the halacha declares that taking ochel from solas, the good from the bad, is called derech achila and is permissible, in contrast to taking bad from the good, is called derech malacha and is prohibited. Where did this halacha come from? But this is halacha Moshe Mesina, you do it this way, it's mutter, the other way, it's awesome. What's going on? Says the halacha, the idea is that Chazal understood that certain malachas are so close to the eating process that the halacha's keveh, the halacha determines that if it's done derech achila, if that's the normal way of eating, that's not called a malacha. That's cool. Preparing food, it's not called derech malacha. Very tricky rule, that principle of derech achila versus derech malacha. Says the Bir Halacha, that's where these klolim come from. This idea that the halacha, the Gemara said of Shabbos and the Vayin Dalet, develops these three principles of Olcham and Solas and Biyad and Miyad, the Alta, all these things, but not just a gibberish of a couple of different principles that come together that make something you'll do. These are all three ways of determining, of labeling the action that you're doing as basically derech achila rather than derech borah. Says the Bir Halacha, what would the halacha be if you had a particular food that is absolutely impossible to remove the good from the bad? The only way to eat this food is to remove the bad from the good. So says the Bir Halacha, so then obviously, removing the bad from the good has now been transformed to be called derech achila. Halacha Moshe Mesinai, this way is good, the other way is no good. These are all ways of just determining whether something is labeled as derech achila or not. If you happen to have a quirk situation where you don't have any other option, the only way that any normal person will eat this food is removing the bad from the good, so that's called also derech achila. So comes the Bir Halacha and says that's the secret of this Rama. That's why, yes, it's true that the Yerushalmi says there's a problem, a potential problem of Borah in terms of peeling on Shabbos, but the Rama qualifies this and says, well, it's not always Asar. If you meet the other criteria to permit Borah, this is going to be Mutter as well. You're missing good from the bad. How can you ever be mocked the bad from the good? The answer is the Bir Halacha. That's the only way to do it. That's why I gave the mushroom a fourth. How else are you going to do it? How the wood you can get the vegetable? Try to think of getting the cucumber away from the peel. You can't do it. So it must be that even removing the peel from the cucumber is labeled as derech achila. And the mela, that one condition, which usually is critical, falls by the wayside. So far we knocked that one condition. And there's another problem. We're using a knife. We're using a kli. So the Gemara says, like most of the Rishonim read the Gemara, whenever you use a kli, you're up the creek. That's Bora Mamish. So comes Rav Moshe Feinstein and addresses this issue in a similar manner. Says Rav Moshe, when do we say that a kli is prohibited? That's when the kli is doing a Bora type of an action. What would that halacha be? Let's say you have some dirt or something fell into your soup and you want to get it out. So you want to, let's say, for argument's sake, scoop up the good from the bad. So what would the halacha be if rather than using your hands, you use a spoon? So comes with Moshe and says, is that called Bora B'Kli, or is that called Bora B'Yad? So physically you're using a Kli, but halachically that's considered to be an extension of your hand. Because the spoon is not doing a Bora action. The only reason why you're using the spoon is because if you would dare put your hand into the soup, so you would get another call on your cell phone from the same person who called me. So says Rav Moshe, that's not called Bar B'Kli. That halacha is called Bar B'Yad. So says Rav Moshe, that's the same story when it comes to the using a knife. When you're peeling the cucumber, you're using a peel, you're using a knife really as an extension of your hand. It's very, very, try to peel it with your hand. In theory, maybe you can do it. But says Rav Moshe, it's not doing a peeling action. Doing maybe a cutting action, maybe to make it easier for you, but it's not doing a borer action, so therefore it's not considered to be a borer kli, it's labeled as a borer biyad. So pretty good. So we have three conditions for borer, and we just knocked off two of them, the Bir Halacha, between Bir Halacha and Ramesha, we just came all the way to the end. But we're still stuck with one more thing. We're stuck with Lialta. So that's exactly what the Ramah says, that if you peel your vegetable for the alpha for immediate use, so that is going to be perfectly permissible. So at the end of the day, the only one of the three conditions that's critical when it comes to peeling is the alpha. So one has to be careful only to peel salads, to peel your vegetables, to peel your fruit, only for immediate use. What constitutes the alpha? So there was an achleik, isn't it?
We're going to get to the peeler in a second.
So what does Lealter mean? So there was a vague statement that appears in the Mordechai and the Shabbos that Lealter means an hour. An hour before the meal is called Lealter. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav was a question whether he really meant it 60 minutes. That's within 60 minutes. Where does that come from? Allah Allah, you see that 60 minutes is Lealter. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that he doesn't think that that's what the Mordechai meant. He thought Lealter, he thought the Shah meant, it's like, it's the way of speaking. basically the Hagdar is, basically the Halacha is, that anything that's done as the normal immediate preparation before the meal, that's called the Alta. And Tantra says, Rebash, let's say, a woman wants to prepare the salad at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then she wants to go to shul, come back 12 o'clock to eat lunch, that's a problem. That's not called the Alta. The Alta means after you come home, so that's considered to be the Alta. Remember somebody who once called me up to complain. He said, you know, my wife listened to one of your shiurim, and now we never eat lunch on dog because he doesn't do anything until after shul. So I said, what are you complaining about? You get a chance to go have a Saturday, you can take a nap, or you can even go help with the kitchen. I said, you know what, a lot of different options available to you. But I can't be maker to let her prepare this alta for him. That's not called the alta. So this hector, the one to peel the fruits and the vegetables, as long as it's the alta. So the question was raised, whether a person uses a real peeler. Now here it becomes a little bit tricky. Can we really say that a peeler is not a kli? Can we really say that a peeler, kishmo kenu, called a peeler? How can you say that that's not called a bora with a kli? So that's a question. So perhaps when it comes to many of the things that we peel, we'll take the example, the par excellence, the example of the cucumber. So maybe we have a right to be making of the cucumber for a slightly different reason. Even if we're going to argue that a peeler is a kli hamiyuchalikah, which is somewhat questionable, maybe we... What? So maybe we could be making all night, maybe. Maybe we could be making on cucumbers for, in effect, a whole series of different reasons. The posuk have a major machlokus when it comes to bora. If a person separates bad from the good, and happens to schlep along some of the good with you. You know, the famous case, you have a fly in the soup, you take your, put your spoon and you take a little bit of the soup together with the fly. So the Taz claims that's not a problem with Bora. Why is that? So some Achronim understood that Bora means when the line of demarcation is between the Ochel and the Psolas. But if you take a little bit of good with you, that's not called Bora. That's not called Bora, Ochel and Psolas. So the Metzias Advarim, when you peel a cucumber, I have yet to meet anybody who can peel the perfect peel. Cucumbers are such that a little bit of cucumber always goes along with the peel. So one could argue, maybe that's not called Bora. As we spend the last 15 minutes trying to figure out, it is Bora, and how can you get around Bora? Is it Lealta, not Lealta, the Kli, not with the Kli? Maybe cucumbers are wrong. Maybe cucumbers were never included in this. Let's not forget, Rishami wasn't talking about cucumbers. Rishami was talking about garlic. So it could be that type of a thing, such as a cucumber, where the vegetable, the cucumber part, always goes a little bit together with the peel. Maybe that's not called Bora altogether. If that's true, then we have a tremendous kula. But then it would be permissible to peel even the achaz mam. The only reason why we're insisting on the alta is because it's Bora. But once you say it's not called Bora, so then everything should be mutter. One possibility. Then there are others who point out as follows. That when do we say that something is considered to be Bora? That's when you have ochel and psolas, when you have good and you have not so good. But when you have a peel of a cucumber, can we really say that the peel of the cucumber is psolas? Sometimes you go to the nicest, fanciest kiddushes, so they peel the cucumber in such a way that a little bit of the peel is on. That's considered to be an elegant way of serving cucumbers. But you go to some place, I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, so I think the 8th Tentius identified with this. So sometimes the main dish was cucumbers. But only sometimes. It was usually about 6 to 7 times a week, the main dish was cucumbers. Sometimes on Shabbos, we had some food. So, you know, there's a limit, you know, when I was in America, I grew up as a kid, I always peeled my cucumbers. You know, when you start to eat at breakfast, lunch, and supper, so you know, you get tired, you're going to go back to the Beis Medrash. So you learn, like everybody else, to eat cucumbers with the peel. So once you say that the peel is edible, if most people aren't so mocked to not eat the peel, and you personally aren't so mocked to not eat the peel, maybe that's not called bora. If that's not called bora, then once again, it would be mutter, even liachas man. Those are different stuff than that the Pesach said. So, lamaisa, let's at least try to zero in now as a maskana, just in terms of the peeling part of the cucumber. So let's say as follows, that lechat chila, one should really only peel the cucumbers for immediate use. That both of those svaras, it's not mopsolos, maybe it is, some people don't like these peels. To say that some of the cucumber goes off of the peel, therefore it's not called bora, the Chazanish didn't accept that svar. He thought that it's still considered to be bora, even if the line of demarcation is not between the ochel and the psolos. So just to do away with bora entirely and say that, no, take the garment, do whatever you want with cucumbers, I don't think that's correct. I think one should be makbid to do it for immediate use. There are some poskim who said that the isser involved in peeling may not even be bora, maybe a different issue, it's called dosh. Dosh means when you're threshing You know, like it has in the back of the box, the back of the raisin bread box, tells you all different parts of the wheat. So when you press down the animal stamping or machines today, pressing on the grain, extracting the peel from the grain itself, that was called malachas disha. So there were some poskim who argued that peeling was not done altogether. It started out with a faulty premise, but maybe the Yisrael Baal is dosh, and therefore it's dosh. So therefore what? Well, also one would only be permitted to do it samach le'achila, in order to be labeled as derech achila, not as derech disha. On the other hand, when it comes to disha, there is no rule that a kli is necessarily off limits. So we could argue that if the Isser involved is not Bora per se, the issue is more of a disha issue, then we would have a little bit more grounds to be makel on peelers. So this is the question. Basically, halacha l'maisa, I would say as follows, that all the peeling of the vegetables, the fruit, should be done samach l'seudah, should be done the altar, after you come home from shul, right before the meal is being served. Those who want to be makel to use even a peeler have poskim to rely on. Combination of factors that maybe it's disha and there's no issue of peeling, there's no issue of clearing altogether. Maybe even if it's borer, maybe that's not called a clear meyucha lekach. Maybe if it's borer, or maybe the line of demarcation is not between the yochum solas. Maybe the peel is edible, but there's a few tzadim hak. So those poskim who are makel even to use the peelers have what to rely on. Those poskim who like to do it the old style way, just with a knife, not to get involved with the kli miyuchadakach, so also definitely have a valid approach in halach. But I think that everyone should try to be makpid, that it should be done only some of the sefuda.
What's the story to say that you can't rely on the peel being edible?
The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Machlokes the Magen Avraham in the Prima Gadim about how far we really go with that cloud. The problem is that, do you follow each individual? Do you follow what the Minhag HaOlam is? Do most people eat cucumber peels? It gets a little bit tricky. So rather than doing a survey on the edibility of cucumber peels, it's probably better not to rely on it. So now we have our wonderful cucumber already. We have our tomatoes, everything already. They go into our salad. So now we want to cut the salad into little pieces. So here we run into a probably different malacha. And that's the potential malacha of toche, grinding. So, I some people think grinding. Grinding means when you take the grain, stick it in there, you really pulverize it into flour. That's grinding. What is chopping up a little cucumber into little pieces, or a tomato into little pieces, or a fruit salad into little pieces? What does that have to do with grinding? So you're not all that far off anyone who questions that. That was the Rush's opinion. The Rush in the seventh paragraph of Shabbat says that cutting food into little pieces is not grinding. There's nothing to do with tochen. In tochen ba'ochen, whatever is edible the way it is, that's not tochen. Tochen means taking something and cutting it into little pieces, getting it ready to be baked. That's tochen. Just cutting a fruit or vegetable into little pieces is not tochen at all. But the overwhelming majority of the Rishon disagreed with this Rush, and the Chanaf is passing against this Rush. The Machaber passes that chodesh hayarek is a potential problem, potential shalom in HaTorah, of tochen. The question is, where does this put us? Practically speaking, how do we get around this problem? So the Rishonim point out that even if we don't accept the Rosh, even if we assume that Choltech HaZayarach is problematic in terms of tochen, yesh gvul b'dogma. There has to be some kind of a cutoff point. Because let's say I take a tomato and I cut it in half. It's tochen. It's ridiculous. Say I cut it into quarters. It's tochen. It's also ridiculous. 8, 16, 32, 64. Where's the gvul? So Tosfos writes, following yourself, Tosfos says that chodesh as a yerek, it has to be dot dot. It has to be small pieces. That really helps us. It has to be really, really small in order to be a shiloh tochen. Otherwise, that's not called tochen. That's called cutting a cucumber or a tomato in half. So where do you draw the line? So come one of the Rishon of Elazar Mitz, who was also one of the Balei Tosfos, and says, gives you a definitive answer that he's not sure. He says that.
But I know it when I see it.
Whatever Mrs. Mitz said, or Rebbetzin Mitz said. So Rebbe Elazar Mitz says he really doesn't know. It's very, very hard to put a real number in terms of the size of the fruit or the vegetable, but we get the sense that it has to be pretty small.
What about eggs?
Oh, you see, eggs in the middle. You see, eggs are going to be a little bit better than fruits and vegetables.
And liver? And liver?
Yes, the Chumash Hadeshin claims that the issue of Tochen doesn't apply to those types of things, which are non-gidulei karka. Some halachas are limited to gulakai, others apply even to non-gulakai. This is a question. It's questionable what the term possession meant exactly. But at least the way the Mishnah Berurah presents it is that there's no tolerance in those things altogether, unless one uses a kli miyuchadah. If you really use a grinder or something, so then the poskim say that like udda the chol. It's like not an appropriate thing, not Shabbos thing. But in terms of, let's say, chopping your tuna fish or something with a fork, or chopping up the liver or eggs with a fork, so that would be permissible. So
we use
a slicer. Moshe was making a slicer. Moshe said that slicing is not really tochen. Tochen means when you break it into little pieces, just making thin slices. So Moshe said that's not called a clear miyuchadah.
Not grinding with the teeth?
Yeah, that's derech achila. Baruch Hashem, we're making that. So the laws of mitzvah leaves us really hanging. Tosos up the zayinir of laws of mitzvah. Everyone says you don't know what the shear is. How small is small? So comes the Rashba with a tremendous chiddush. Comes the Rashba and says, what's the din if a person grinds, or in this case, cuts up his fruit, his vegetable, samach l'suda, right before the so says the Rash, the one fell swoop, that's mutter. Everything's mutter. Samach l'suda is totally permissible, because once again, that's called derech achima, not called derech malacha. So there's a very serious problem with the Rash. The problem is that the Gemara doesn't say this. The Gemara does have the principle of samach l'suda by borer, that's the version of Gemara that I endow in the Sefer Shabbos, but by the malacha of tochen, the Gemara never gives us any indication that that's a relevant factor. Now, obviously, you know that if some halacha is that some chasuda does not play a role. Say, for example, bishul. Here's a big kula. Please don't call me this way. As long as it's before the meal, then it's okay. As long as you want to drive to the rest now, as long as it's before the meal, everything's good. That's ridiculous. So how do you know which malachas the principle of some chasuda carries over and which not? So the Rashba, writes, he thinks that tochen is a valid extension. Just as Bohrin is a principle of Samach Hasuda, so to Tochen there should be a principle of Samach Hasuda as well. The other Rishonim are vehemently opposed. The Gibarim, the Zecha Shabbos, writes that he thinks that the Rashba made a tremendous mistake in comparing the Malach of Bohrin to Tochen. He cannot compare the two. The Chazanish explains why not, what is the difference exactly? So the Chazanish suggests that the Malach of Bohrin is unique, that the Chetzah doesn't really change. And you have good and bad, and you just remove one from the other, it's basically the same thing. So says the Chazanish, that type of malacha is borer, where there's no real inherent change in the object, so that lends itself more to being labeled as derech achila. Hashem kei tochen, that's serious stuff. You took a big thing, and now it's cut into little pieces, so who says that that's called the derech achila? Maybe that should be similar to bishul, just as bishul, obviously there's no din of samach l'achila, so to by tochen there should be no din of samach l'achila. So this was a running machlokes in the Rishonim, whether this Rashi was correct or not. How do we pass in the halacha? As we asked. So Ramah quotes the Rashba. Ramah says that Samach L'Achila is Gevaldik, whatever your definition of Samach L'Achila was for Bora, everything is going to be Mutter for Tochen as well. The Mishnah Berurah is not as convinced as the Ramah was. It comes to Mishnah Berurah and starts to combine cheapness. Comes to Mishnah Berurah and says, it depends. Comes to Mishnah Berurah and says, it just depends on how small those pieces are going to be. Remember we said that Tosus wasn't sure how small is small. The uranium wasn't sure how small is small. Nobody here was able to convince us how small is small. So says the Mishnah Berurah, I'm going to combine the following two kulas. If you prepare the salad, you cut those cucumbers, you cut those tomatoes right before the meal, and you try your best not to make them too small. So if you have two factors combining together, it's like a little bit of a sphinx in halacha, then we're going to give you the green light. Why? Maybe the Rashba is right. And if the Rashba is right, then we're for sure home free. Because whatever Samach L'Achila is at the Goma, because that's called Derech Achila, it's not called Derech Malacha. But we're not convinced the Rashba is right. Let's not forget. We're not so convinced that the Rashba's application of that principle of Bohr really does carry over to Tovein. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, we always have in our back pocket that as long as you're not making it too small, so it's probably not a problem anyway. But just to cut pieces of into your salad and just to rely on the not small kula, that is a little bit too dangerous because Tosfos wasn't sure, the Iranian wasn't sure, nobody sure. So to be made of each kula independently, Mishnah Berurah doesn't permit. But to combine both of these legacies together, so then the Mishnah Berurah is willing to accept it. So comes the Chazon Ish and says, you know, this Rashba, we don't really think this Rashi was right, because after all, the Chazanish was the one who explained the way to Shulta Gemara. He had all the lumpus from Shulta Gemara. So the Chazanish says, I don't think this Rashi was right. I, the Ramah, quote it. We usually have a rule in Halacha. But for now, Yisrael, Yotzim B'Yad Ramah. Whatever the Ramah says, that's okay. But the Chazanish wasn't exactly a Svadim, but the Chazanish says that, you know, he doesn't like this Ramah. The Ramah called this Rashi, but he thinks the Rashi was a Das Yachid. So the Chazanish wasn't such a big fan. I don't know if they didn't remember, have to check the reps and carrots, so that used to make salads. But the Chazanish wasn't a big fan of this kuma of Samuch Leachila when it came to cutting up the salads. Again, we really have three different permutations here. We have the Rashba, who was just made outright. Whatever's done, Samuch Lesuda, set the gum, you don't have to be bothered with anything else. It doesn't really matter how small the pieces are, which is basically what the Ramah passes is like. And then you have the other extreme, the Chazanish and the Shulta Gevorim, who argued that we have a very serious problem here. Then you have the Mishnah Berurah walking a little bit in the middle, where the Mishnah Berurah is willing to say that, well, combined together with the other Kula, then you're okay. But as we pointed out before, this whole discussion is only if you're dealing with Gedulei Karka, you're dealing with things which grow in the ground, the fruits and the vegetables, you're dealing with chopping the tuna fish or chopping the eggs out, things of that nature, provided you're not using a Kliya Miuchalakach, so then presumably you're going to be home free. I did not even begin to address the issue of once you've chopped up your tuna fish, can you put anything into the tuna fish? Can you put any mayonnaise into the tuna fish? We're not going to have time for that. That's Malachas Lisha. Maybe that's later on down the line. So those who still enjoy their egg salads, keep on enjoying them. We'll come back in a couple of weeks. But there is one last part I didn't want to talk about. And that is now that you have your wonderful peeled cucumbers and you have your wonderful sliced up tomatoes and cucumbers, and remember, you told your wife to not let us start anything until you come home from shul. So now it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and your salad's ready. Now the question is, if you're not so machped on your blood pressure, you want to put a little bit of salt in your salad. Is there anything possibly wrong with salt and salad on Shabbos? So the Gemara says as follows, that to one person wants to pickle something on Shabbos, cucumber thrown into pickle juice, so that's clearly prohibited on Shabbos. Interesting. It's clearly prohibited, but it's not clearly why it's prohibited. The Gemara says the Beferish, that one is not permitted to be kovish kavashim on Shabbos. Some say it smacks a bishul a little bit. It looks like a little bit, because there's a principle in Yeridea of kovish kimavusha, whatever something is salt and vinegar, that's in certain sense specifically like halachically when it was cooked. So that's what some Rishonim say. Others give a different interpretation, but bottom line is everybody agrees that kovish kavashim, to actually pickle with vinegar or something, would be problematic. So the Gemara says that the Chachamim prohibited anything which even smacks of the pickling process, the salting. So the salt, anything which is sometimes pickled, is potentially a problem. If you have something that's never pickled, so then it was never included in this gazera. But something that's normally pickled, so even to salt it is problematic. If you salt in a large quantity, if you salt just a little bit, so you're holding up the cucumber, and you salt a little piece in your hand, and you eat it, that's for sure permissible, because that doesn't resemble any way whatsoever pickling. But if you have a lot of cucumbers, so that's a problem.
Lemon juice.
Oh, very good. So the lemon juice is going to save us, believe it or not. So come to Postman and say, here you have your salad, and some things in the salad are, I'm going to make up a new word, pickleable. So there are some things that are potentially in this gazebo of kovish kavashim. So what's that locha? So presumably it should be a problem. So let's say to put salt on the lettuce, okay, that's probably permissible. Put salt on the, you got the tomatoes. Tomatoes are a toughie. But cucumbers, obviously cucumbers become pickles, so isn't that a problem? Shouldn't that be included in this Gezeirah D'Rabbanan of Maleach as included as a subset, so to speak, of this Gezeirah D'Rabbanan of Kovish Kevashim? So how do you get around this problem? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the following Kula. Here the lemon juice is going to help us. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, what if you want to salt something, and immediately, as soon as you salt it, so the salt, the koch of the salt, the power of the salt is weakened right away. So says the Mishnah Berurah, that's not included in this gezeira. So the Mishnah Berurah gives you the following etza. Person wants to pour some salt on his cucumbers, so if you pour some salad dressing on it, pour some lemon juice, pour something else on immediately, so it takes away, dilutes a little bit the koch of the salt. So says the Mishnah Berurah, that was never included in this gezeira, and that will be permissible. So that's what I think we should tell people to do, that if they have, if you don't have any cucumbers, you just have lettuce, then you pour whatever salt you want on. But if you have cucumbers in your salad, then the correct thing to do is put it together with some salad dressing or lemon juice or something like that, and presumably that's going to be okay. What if you don't have cucumbers? What if you just have lettuce and tomatoes? So remember I said tomatoes is a toughie. So tomatoes are interesting because tomatoes are potentially pickled. You know, in the store, buy a jar of pickled tomatoes. So, believe it or not, they presented a pickled tomato to Shlomo Zalman, and they asked him, what's the story? Is it a problem with salting a tomato on Shabbos? So, Shlomo Zalman was very focused on the tomatoes, the way they're pickled in the jars, they're whole tomatoes. Whereas you want to pickle a quarter of a tomato, a slice of a tomato. So should we argue that's called Yesh B'mino Kavu Shana? So Shlomo Zalman was pulling back over the pickle to try to figure out whether our tomatoes is really the same, and your table, is that really the same as the way they pickle tomatoes in an industry? If that's true, so then you have to question the cucumbers also. Right. Because when they prepare, what's the problem? The problem is they do sell pickle chips. So this was a major shiloh. I remember I was giving the sheer ones. So I threw out the following question. How do they pickle? Anyone here work in the pickle industry? Everyone's got to come up with the following answer for me. If I get to call you, I'm Rishon. When they pickle chips, are pickle chips originally made as whole pickles and then cut into little pieces? Or are they first cut up and then put into the juice?
President Bartet lives around the corner from me. So
I'm more than willing to answer. I will forego my conclusion until the following year. I love this. But I hope, putting aside the somewhat confusion about the tomatoes, the halach is as follows. Again, just to recap, the three issues that we try to discuss in making the salad. So the issue of bora, the issue of peeling. Should this be a problem of bora, should not be a problem of bora? The basic way to get around the problem is based on the ramah of doing it li'alter. And then the machlek is supposed to give whether the peelers are also permissible if it's li'alter, based on those considerations of bora. Second issue of tochein, of cutting it up into little pieces. With the whole machlok is with the rash, and the chazanish. Is it really a problem of tochein? Is tochein solved automatically by being stomach hasuda? Then the third issue, the issue of salting, which again, the Mishnah Berurah gives one an eitzah of how to do. So at the end of the day, is it mutter to make a salad on Shabbos? The answer is yes. But how to make a salad on Shabbos, there's a lot of lumbus. So hopefully it is Shabbos, so we'll be on top of the situation. Let the show be able to enhance Hashemir Shabbos, even the somewhat mundane activity of making salad.